Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for the privilege and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're going to continue our teaching on, we must know and understand the reality of the word of God, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the word of God, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Now, if you found Hebrews 11, please go to verse number 6 and follow along as I read. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, we've also learned from the word of God that faith is a gift which comes from God, given to us at the new birth. He gives us faith, but that faith has to be developed. It is not mature. That faith has to be brought to a place of strength. When a baby is born into the world, it is not physically strong yet. A baby is physically weak, but given enough time, if you give it enough rest, enough food, enough nourishment, enough exercise, that baby will grow from a state of weakness to a state of strength. Amen. And that's where we want to go as Christians. We want to have strong faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of heaven. Faith is the key that moves the hand of the Almighty. Faith is the key by which you can obtain the desires of your heart. Faith is that which pleases God. Amen. Now, we are currently teaching on the six principles of obtaining strong faith. And those principles are, number one, we must know and understand the reality of God's word. Again, we must know and understand the reality of God's word. Principle number two, we must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. Again, we must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. Principle number three, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Principle number four, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Again, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Principle number five, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. We must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. And finally, principle number six, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. These principles are necessary for us to know and understand for establishing a strong foundation for the development of our faith. Now, we are now on principle number five, which is we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. Now, I am talking to those Christians who have been filled with the Spirit, not born of the Spirit, but filled with the Spirit. There are many who have been filled with the Spirit who have not had the experience of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, but they doubt it. They are not walking in the fullness of their power. They are not walking in the glory and in the supernaturalness of what God has done for them. They are still searching and trying to find something out in this world system to give them power and to make their lives more beneficial and more victorious. What they don't understand is that the Holy Spirit is inside you, not out there, but in you. Amen. Family, God is in you. How can you put pills in your body? How can you put smoke or nicotine in your body? How can you drink strong alcohol beverages? Those things rob your body. God is in you, not outside of you. If you were to ask me what is sin and what is not sin, I would have to answer it this way. If you will do it in the church building and he, Jesus, is not in the building, then do it in your body. Then do it in your body. When we lived in Los Angeles, we attended Crenshaw Christian Center. And I served on the publicity committee as a greeter. And I would see men smoking cigarettes, and they would put them out before they got into the sanctuary. They wouldn't think of smoking a cigarette in the main sanctuary, yet they would put it in their bodies, and that is where God is. Amen? Our minds are so mixed up, deceived, it's a wonder that we get anything done. You talk about smart. No, brother, man is dumb. He is not smart. Sure, He has done a lot of amazing things, but the scripture tells us that we will see great signs and great wonders. So that's nothing new to us. We will reverence the church building, which is just a physical building, but pay little attention to our bodies. If we were to suggest to the executive board of Kansas City Christian Faith Center that I believe we should have a cocktail hour before Sunday services, they would say, "Pastor, you don't mean that." And secondly, they would not allow me to do it according to our bylaws. So why do we allow alcohol, smoke, pills, and other illicit drugs and alcohol to be put in our bodies? It just doesn't make sense. You don't mind doing it at home. You don't mind putting it in your body. And the Bible says that's where God lives in you. Now, please go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. And it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now, grieve means to have or to cause sorrow, to cause pain, or to cause grief. Amen. So that means you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can cause the Holy Spirit to be sorrow, to be in pain, or to be grieved. Amen. We need to know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. When you realize that God is in you, when you realize that he is in you by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, it will go a long way toward helping you to walk the straight and narrow. Now, you'll find that it is very easy to be a Christian. Now, let me give you an example. Go to Hebrews, or better yet, let's go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, 6. And it says this. It says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from that." If you start training your child as a baby, as soon as he comes out the womb, matter of fact, you should pray not only in your English language, but also in your heavenly language when your wife is pregnant in the womb, because that embryo in your wife's belly is a spirit. And so your spirit man is speaking to that spirit child that's in your wife's stomach. And once you train up a child when they're young, then it's very easy for him to continue to do the things as a Christian. You'll find that it's easy to be a Christian. If you follow the scripture, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Not the way that he wants to go, but the way that he should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart. Yes, it is easy to do the things that are right if you want to do them. Jesus said these words, and we know that he is not a liar because the Bible tells us that God, he cannot lie. So turn to Matthew chapter 11. Again, that's Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 28 to 30. And it says, "Come to me, all who labor and all are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Now, Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So if you say you have a heavy burden and your yoke is hard, then you are not walking in the light. The reason it is light, because Jesus carries it, just like he carries all our sicknesses, diseases, and pains. If you still have a heavy load, get rid of it. Give it to Jesus. Amen. Now, we have read that our bodies are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in us. Please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 17. It says, if anyone defies the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Now, I'd like to also read this from another translation of the Bible, and this is from the Amplified Study Bible. And it's going to give this particular scripture a little more oomph, or a little more power in its meaning. And it says this, if anyone destroys the temple of God, corrupting it with false doctrine. Now, let me stop right there. It says corrupting it with false doctrine. So that means you can corrupt the Holy Spirit by putting false information in your spirit man. Amen. Let's continue. It says, if anyone destroys the temple of God, corrupting it with false doctrine, God will destroy the destroyer. It says, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. If you are calling yourself a Christian, you better get it together. If you say you are filled with the Spirit and you are doing all those unholy things, you better get it together. Amen. Now, that word defiles and destroy in that verse are the same Greek word. The word means to destroy by corrupting. It means to destroy by corrupting. The idea is that if anyone hinders, spoils, or offends the church, God will discipline them. Amen. God sets apart the local church, the temple of God, as his special people. He sets us aside as his special people. Now, I've told you before how scripture supports scripture. Now, if God sets us apart as his special people, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 right quick. Let's take a little detour to this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. And it says this. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We are God's own special people. God views the local church as his special possession. Amen. So he protects it by disciplining any Christian that offends the church. Amen. Now, you may hide it from your husband or wife, but you can't hide it from God. When the axe falls, don't go crying, oh Lord, have mercy on me. He don't want to hear that. Don't come with your crocodile tears. Your body is the temple. It ought to be a holy place. It should be clean. I can declare from personal experience, it feels good to be clean on the inside as well as the outside. God's word is very clear on this. Now, some have told me that what I am teaching, and can you believe this? Some have told me that what I am teaching is my interpretation. And you know what? I do have a right to have my own interpretation, but I am not giving you my interpretation. I am just reading from scripture. Amen. Now, if you have a Bible, I suggest you read it yourself and you will see it also. This is why it's so important that people, when you come to church, you must bring a Bible. I've been to churches where nobody brings a Bible. So how can you learn something? Sure, you have the man, the under shepherd teaching, but you have to read it for yourself. You have to see it for yourself. Amen. If anybody in our congregation doesn't have a Bible, I stop until we make sure he has a Bible. You have to see it for yourself. This is the word of the living God. Amen. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 19 through 20. And it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Amen. How can you glorify God when your body is afflicted with cancer and disease? You can't do it. How could anybody ever think that sickness could be God's perfect will? Let me read something to you. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35, it says this. It says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." He says healing every sickness and every disease. So you tell me how sickness is going to glorify God. And why would God put sickness on you and then turn around and heal you? That doesn't make sense. No, God tells us he's come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So no. To believe that, one has to be blind and deceived by Satan. Amen. So our Father is a God of wellness, is a God of prosperity. He has nothing to do with sickness and disease. Amen. Matter of fact, that's what Jesus went to Calvary for. Amen. Your body is the house that God lives in. You wouldn't want to live in a house where the roof leaks, would you? Then what makes you think that God wants to live in one where the roof leaks? Yet many of the houses of God are leaking, as it were. And what I mean by that, they might have a bad heart, bad liver, bad kidney, bad eyes, bad ears, bad feet. Something is always hurting. How in the world can God be glorified in that? Tell me that. We just read it. Where he went about all the cities and villages and healing all. All means all. Everybody that came to him that had some type of ailment or sickness, he healed them. Amen. So God wants you well. And the Spirit of God lives in you. So that's why your body has to be clean. Amen. God's house is supposed to have the best in it. Your body should be right. Amen. You ought to be hearing and seeing right. Hallelujah. My eyes get better by the day. Amen. They don't get weaker. They get better because I confess it. The scripture tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those of us who love it shall eat the fruit of their health. So I eat the fruit of life. Amen. Not death. So I speak life to my body. Amen. I speak prosperity to my body. Amen. Not the negative things. Now, I used to, because I didn't know any better. I was always saying, "Oh, I'm going to get sick. Oh, I believe I'm going to get a cold. Oh, I believe I'm going to have the flu." No. I'm a child of the king. And I'm a king. So, no, I don't get sick. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I don't have time to have a headache or the flu. No. I speak life to my body because I'm a child of the king. And you a child of the king. Amen. God's house is supposed to have the best in it. Your body should be right. You ought to be hearing and seeing right. Amen. My eyes get better by the day, not weaker. I expect and plan to be in good health, walk well. My arms and legs are functioning properly. I won't have arthritis because this is God's house, and He doesn't desire to live in a broken down house. Amen. The King of Kings lives in my body. What about you? Does He live in you? Amen. He is here because He said He's here. I don't have to feel anything or see anything. God has said He is in the midst of you. Matthew 18:20. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Because He is in me, we can boldly say, for whom shall we fear? God is with us. He is in us. And you know what? I'm just about out of time. So please join us next week. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.